versus Holder, 10-2730. Is it Trace?
Trace. Yes, thank you. May it please the court, my name is David Trace, and I represent the petitioner in this case, Mr. Eugene Joseph. This case is really about a long stream of problems with due process. We had a petitioner who, in many of his appeals, went pro se because he could not afford the benefit of an attorney. And it's not just about it. This case isn't just about the alien petitioner, but it's about his family. We have two United States citizen children here in this case, as well as his wife, who is also born in the United States and is a citizen. So, you know, in terms of some of the equities here, it seems that the petitioner, although it's Eugene Joseph, is really Celeste Joseph, Kay Joseph, and Preston Joseph as well. In this case, this gentleman was arrested and served time for bank fraud well over 10 years ago. And the case went before the Honorable Judge Bauer, who is no longer on the bench and has since retired from service. And we maintain that the judge, in making his decision to deny the 212H waiver, which would allow Mr. Joseph to adjust his status based on his marriage to the United States citizen, he improperly considered some factors as adverse, including tax returns that and tax agreements that Mr. Joseph had made with the government, as well as the restitution agreement that Mr. Joseph had made with the government. These factors, the IRS accepted Mr. Joseph's proposal. It went so far with the judge that Mr. Joseph ended up amending a tax return. Moreover, with the restitution part of this case, he had made an agreement that he would pay so much per month in restitution to make up for his criminal offense, and the judge took exception to that, stating that...
Pause. Have we got jurisdiction to hear the motion to reopen?
I'm sorry?
Has this court got jurisdiction and a motion to reopen?
I believe it does under the Supreme Court ruling in Kukana, that it does have jurisdiction to hear a motion to reopen.
Kukana explicitly decided not to rule on it. Barry said so very clearly. I didn't resolve the question. No, quote, we do not reach the question whether review of a reopening denial would be precluded if the court would lack jurisdiction over the alien's underlying claim for relief. Do we have jurisdiction over the underlying claim for relief?
I believe under the Supreme Court ruling in Kukana we do. I thought that this early in the 7th
okay.
It was...
Go ahead, fire away.
...that it was found not to have jurisdiction, and then it went up to the Supreme Court of the United States, and it was ruled that motions to reopen are under the jurisdiction of... United States Court of Appeals.
Well, how many motions to reopen have there been here?
There have been a lot. You know,
well, how many can there be?
Well, if there's exceptional circumstances there, then they are not numerically barred. There can be as many as are needed to get.
I mean, you can just bring an indeterminate number of motions to reopen.
Well, no, Your Honor, I wouldn't say you could bring an indeterminate, but when. There are exceptional circumstances which warrant the motion to reopen.
What are the exceptional circumstances on this? It's the fourth motion to reopen, isn't it?
Yes, and Your Honor, it would be ineffective assistance of counsel, as noted in the BIA's opinion on page 2 of the 2010 opinion. There would be ineffective assistance of counsel. As previously mentioned, the petitioner proceeded pro se. This record is... you know, not orderly, and there are some problems with these motions. There's no question. And we maintain that these motions, they relate back. You know, you had the 2009 motion to reopen based on ineffective assistance of counsel, where the BIA did not provide any analysis other than all they did was give a conclusion that there was no prejudice in the case, hence the motion was denied. The 2010 motion, what the petitioner did is, in essence, he kind of took another bite at the apple, which could have been even considered a motion to reconsider, and he gave the board additional documentation, billing statements and things like that, and asserted that there was problems with the representation of facts from the attorney to the immigration judge. Again, on page 2 of their opinion, the BIA said, we've already addressed the ineffective assistance of counsel, and we find that the petitioner was not prejudiced. Now, that statement, they may as well have just, you know, summarily affirmed, you know, everything from the get-go with the immigration judge. If there's nothing, if there's no analysis provided, then it makes it difficult to respond. And this court has held in Hengen that the BIA needs to respond to the arguments made to them. And there's hardly anything to respond to. So we related some things back. And when a case is reopened before the BIA, everything's back on the table. It's not just the one issue. It's everything. So what it is, it's an opportunity to address some of the inequities and the things that went wrong earlier in the case when the petitioner lacked counsel. And that's kind of what we were hoping to do here, to get everything in front of the court, to get everything in front of the BIA, and for them to be able to make a decision, because this penalty is harsh. To be deported is harsh. And we have United States citizen children here who are reliant on their father financially, emotionally. And one of the, you know, strange things with this law is you have to wait for the other shoe to drop in terms of the extreme hardship. And we have to prove it almost before it's happening. And so that makes things difficult. But Mr. Joseph did his best with what he had, and he let the BIA know that the children were asthmatic, severe asthma. He's often had to take them to the emergency room.
All of this addresses itself to the sound discretion of the Attorney General, not to us.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
All of this addresses itself to the sound discretion of the Attorney General, not to us.
That's why we're looking to reopen it.
Yeah, I understand that, but he's exercised his discretion. It's over. It's done. It's finished. What's left?
Well, Your Honor.
Well, I mean, as Judge Cuddy pointed out, we could be here this time next century still playing games with it. The fact is he lost, and there's no place to go. And that's the way it finishes. You're into your rebuttal time.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. Carter?
May it please the Court, Nancy Cantor on behalf of the Attorney General. The only issue properly before the Court today is whether the Board abused its discretion in denying petitioner's fourth motion to reopen proceedings as time and number barred. Petitioner's opening brief contains no argument with respect to whether the Board abused its discretion in denying his fourth motion to reopen. Moreover, that fourth motion to reopen is indisputably time and number barred. Accordingly, petitioner has waived any right to challenge the June 2010 decision, and respondent respectfully submits that the petition for review should be denied.
That should solve your problem.
Yes, Your Honor. I'd also like to respond to a few of petitioner's arguments. Specifically, his argument with respect to whether or not extreme hardship has been established has been considered by the board over four times and has been rejected previously by this court. Moreover, with regards to petitioner's ineffective assistance of counsel claim, he's never demonstrated any prejudice resulting from any of the alleged ineffective acts of prior counsel. Accordingly, even if the court were to address those issues on the merits, respondent respectfully submits that there is no merit to petitioner's argument and the petition for review should be denied. Unless the court has any other questions, respondent's happy to submit on the briefs.
There are any, and I apologize for getting your name wrong.
Thank you.
Mr. Trace, how much time left? 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honors. I would like to say that it is well established in this circuit and others that exceptional circumstances do allow for motions to be reopened. And while there is a numeric bar, that numeric bar is, there are exceptions to that numeric bar. And one of them is ineffective assistance of counsel. again, what we have here is we have a family. And
I guess the trouble that I have with that is that that was already raised in a prior motion to reopen. So what makes it exceptional this go around?
What makes it different, Your Honor, is there was never really a proper analysis done by the board. They simply said, we agree. And they didn't even follow their own memorandums or the statute. That's the problem. They're supposed to determine whether the petitioner's family, all United States citizens, would suffer extreme hardship if he were deported. They never did that. All they did was look at the adverse factors, and they made a decision. That's the problem. They didn't even follow their own memorandum or the statute. They needed to establish whether there's hardship first, and then go to the next step. The hardship is a threshold question, and they never addressed it. Thank you.
All right, thank you, and thank you to both counsel. We'll take the matter under advisement.